Hey everyone, today's episode we are going to jump into the mystical teachings of St. Catherine of Siena. Primarily, we are going to look at her concept of God as the gentle mirror of our soul. Unlike our episodes on Teresa of Avila, where it's more of a system, here I'm going through her most famous work, Dialogue, which was written in her ecstatic experiences and conversations with God the Father. And I'm pulling out this concept of God being the gentle mirror of the soul. We're going to get into that and how St. Catherine can assist us in finding the true self, the God-loved self, the self that is made in God's image, underneath the ego, underneath the trauma, underneath the pain, past the shadow self, and healing it with God's gentle mirror. If you enjoyed this episode and you've enjoyed the past Catherine episode on Patreon, we have a whole lot of Catherine of Siena bonus material. We are doing a bonus episode on what she calls her 9 images to God, as well as the mystical bridge. We have already shared a Catherine of Siena novena. And this is the same for any mystic, any saint. There is unique and specific Patreon content for each, not to mention over 100 blessings approved by the Lady, over 100 deliverance prayers, tons of bonus content. It's a whole library and archive, so be sure to check that out as well. And I hope you enjoy this episode, because this one was a bit more of my own personal take on some of her writings. So enjoy, God bless you, and thank you for all of your support. Who am I? This phrase is most commonly thought of when we ponder the mystical traditions of the East, especially the noted mystic Ramana Maharshi, who meditated upon this question daily until it was said he reached a state of enlightenment. Though reflection on self-knowledge has also been a very traditional trait in Christian mysticism as well. Who am I? Who are we? This is front and center in the book of Exodus, when Moses confronts God speaking to him in the burning bush, and then Moses asks this mysterious voice, "Who are you?" In which the voice replies roaringly, "I am who am." Many centuries later, Catherine of Siena would hear God's voice booming, asking the young saint, "Do you know who I am? I am he who am. And you are she who is not." While this phrase from the mouth of the Father, it might make you recoil and think, why is God speaking so smugly, so sternly to Catherine? Though is this not the same turn of phrase that Guadalupe told Juan Diego when she asked him, "Am I not here? I who am your mother." Or Christ admonishing his own disciples for their little faith upon the rocky boat in the sea, God was not chastising Catherine at that moment. Neither was he puffing out his chest. Rather, he was telling her, "I am who am. I am the essence that is vibrating, that is creating this whole reality in front of you. And here I am speaking to you. Therefore, have trust in me." But similarly, does this not instill awe within you? Quite often we try to approach God in a way with so much logic that we lose this awe. We lose the wonder, we lose the statement, the essence of the statement, "I am who am." And if he is who is, then what does that make us? And herein lies the question of many Christian thinkers and mystics, and herein lies the question that the Father was asking Catherine. I am who am. So who are you? Who am I? Who are we? Well, we know we are God's beloved. We know that we are his final draft before coming into earth, and we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. But do we always feel as such? Do we always feel as if we are sons and daughters of the Son? Absolutely not. Because of the fall. And the fall is also something that's so dramatized and maybe even made more complex than it is. So let's simplify it even more. Do you agree that our own egos and selfishness gets in the way of our own happiness and joy? Do you agree that underneath all of this worldly thoughts lies a state of utter simplicity? Then right there is the fall. Then right there is what you could even call original sin or an original stain, this inclination to make ourselves and our ego right front and center before all of God's creation. So if we are muddied by deception, by our ego as well as in a warped view of God, an inclination towards selfishness, complexities, then what is beyond that? What is beyond all of that mud and muck? If we are not our ego, if we are not our social status, our name, our job, our relationships, if we are not the things of this world, then I ask again, who are we? How do we find out who we are? In which Catherine of Siena would reply, we find out who we are through the gentle mirror of God. This is another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue, and this is St. Catherine of Siena's Gentle Mirror of the Soul. Peace be with you and with your spirit. Welcome to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. I am your host, W. Let's go back to earlier themes in this series on the mystics, in which we discuss deification. Deification, theosis, divine sonship, it has many names, but in essence it simply means becoming closer to God, removing the stains within us, to form a closer relationship with the divine. Though, if we admit that there is a deification, then we must also admit the opposite, demonization. Now, I'm not saying this is literally becoming a demon, though it's becoming the opposite of deified. It's when we take on so much worldliness and so much ego that we casually get further away from God. And the further away from God is an element of the demonic. So, to add on to that, oftentimes when we think of sin, we think of it as this checklist, though I prefer how the Eastern Christians refer to it. They refer to sin as a stain, something that darkens this relationship with God. Or, as I have sometimes called it, a spiritual blockage that stops us from feeling God's love. Therefore, things like confession and prayer, as well as doing good acts, they remove these stains and blockages. And in removing these stains and blockages, we begin to peel back the layers of gunk, the stains, until we are met with some semblance of our true selves, in a way, at least, as much as we can here on earth. And this concept of finding the true self, it has always been fascinating to me, and I also think it's largely understood. When we say things like detachment or the ego self, or this could even be the shadow self of sorts, we think of if we remove our labels, our titles, our ego, so on and so forth, we become like zombies. But that's not necessarily true. Things like detachment and clinging, it's just meaning that we're making this one thing our sole form of happiness. And thus, when that thing, since it is temporal, goes away, we will lose our happiness. But even more supernaturally, there is something beyond all of that, which we'll explore in this series and in this episode. But I've been fascinated by this concept because I've been seeing it in glimpses when researching the mystics, and I think it's something we don't really discuss much. Like I said a few times now, we think of the true self and ego, we think of Buddhism, we think of Hinduism, we think of Taoism in a sense. But it's right there. And it's especially there in St. Catherine of Siena's writings. Now, this theme of the self is by no means the most common area of discussion for St. Catherine of Siena. Usually when you research her, you're usually going to hear things about her mystical marriage or her mystical bridge metaphor. Though we've discussed those in past episodes, and I've just been enamored by a very simple phrase of Catherine's, and it's how she describes God, or more appropriately, it's how she describes getting to know God. She says we get to know ourselves through the gentle mirror of God. Because again, in Christianity, we rarely think of it as a process. We rarely think of Christianity or Catholicism as a spiritual system, right? We think about it as a way to get into heaven, a checklist to keep us from going to hell. Though the mystics, and honestly, many theologians, and honestly, many of the basic church teachings instead say, no, this is a spiritual system, and Catherine's gentle mirror of God further adds to it. So in this discussion, we're going to discuss the gentle mirror, discuss ways that we can look past the ego, the muck, the mire of worldliness, and through the lens and the writings of St. Catherine, see how she discusses this gentle mirror concept. I'm taking all of this from her work, The Dialogue. So, let's jump in. In the gentle mirror of God. So according to St. Catherine, in order to discover who and what we are in any kind of depth, we need not only to look within ourselves, but also lift our gaze above and beyond ourselves. To quote her from Dialogue, "In your nature, eternal Godhead, I shall come to know my nature. And what is my nature, boundless love? It is fire, because you are nothing but a fire of love." So a lot of our images of the Father have been distorted over the years for many reasons. One, it actually is due to the nature of the fall. Adam and Eve, they hid their face from God, for they lived with a warped view of the Father. They no longer saw him as a father of love. Rather, they now saw him as a father of wrath. Similarly, many poor depictions of the Father of the Old Testament showcase him as a bloodthirsty tyrant. Rather than really explaining when people turn their face away from God, what he is doing is not wrath. Rather, he is creating a space for love suffering to try and elevate their senses to turn their face back towards him. But even in that space, he is still coming with unconditional love, which would then go to Christ's incarnation, love incarnate, to show us the true face of the Father, which is love, that he would die so all of us do not need to love suffer as in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, rather. There's a lot there. However, in that atonement, in that death, we all become sons and daughters of the Son to also love like the Father. So I'm hoping in this series and through my work, I can showcase the love of the Father, because that is greatly overlooked in Catholicism and Christianity, and the various aspects of atonement, I think, have been painted very poorly. Nonetheless, God is love, and that is something you see so often in the writings of the mystics, of the saints, of the popes. Pope Benedict's first encyclical was called God is Love, a loving, merciful Father, the works of St. Faustina. So here she is saying, in your nature, I shall know my nature. And what is my nature? It is fire, because you are also fire, a fire of love. It's beautiful. So, when we are thinking about going beyond and above ourselves, we are looking to God the Father, who is love. So a gentle mirror of the soul, a gentle fire that refines us. So this journey that Catherine is speaking of, this journey towards true self-knowledge, it requires that we see ourselves directly under the gaze of the one who created us, to quote her again. In the gentle mirror of God, the believer, when in prayer, sees her own dignity, that through no merit of hers, but by his creation, she is the image of God, Now, this is key. This is the first thing we notice in the mirror, that we are loved and we are made in his image. And what is God but a fire of love? Thus, we too are made to be fires of love. We are made to be loved by God as well as to love others. Though, what the believer discovers in this gazing, it's by no means going to be brightness and consolation. It's not always going to be lovingness. We all know that when we sit in prayer, the intrusive thoughts come in, or when we do some types of discernment, the intrusive thoughts come in. We see not a beautiful picture, but we see the stains. And thus we go down a path of self-hatred. If you are hearing these things, it might seem similar to what many people online refer to as shadow work and the shadow self. This is very much in line with that concept, though here we are introducing a loving God Father and a way to know ourselves more fully through prayer. Nonetheless, what I'm saying here is gazing upon ourselves as a beloved, it's not always going to be brightness and butterflies. As Catherine says, in the mirror of continual prayer, one begins to see her faults and failures far more clearly than before. So, this discovery is the result of being able to now contemplate a little more the wonderful innocence and purity of the Godhead. In other words, God's love is so immense, so vast, and since God's love is so vast, if I'm going to look at myself compared to the vastness love of God, I'm going to feel unworthy, for it is unfathomable, and thus our own defects now seem even more intense. As I've said before in previous episodes, the saints say things like, I am nothing but a dirty sinner, I am not worthy of heaven, so on and so forth, and this is not because they are trying to do false piety or they just have bad self-esteem. No, this is because they have seen the eternal fire of God's love and they know its immensity, and thus they can only say, I am not worthy. But again, this is a gentle mirror. So through this mirror, we still see that we are made in God's image. Even though we see these flaws, we see that he gently assists us in addressing these flaws so we can better see ourselves in his image. This is not the picture of Dorian Gray, but instead it's a reflection of God. And eventually we see that we too are in that reflection. The mirror of God is gentle and it shows us love and beauty and eventually self-knowledge. For the mirror in of itself is self-knowledge. For who are we but the image of God? So now let's approach the gentle mirror. And what I enjoy about Catherine's writings on the gentle mirror is that her descriptions of prayer and how to approach the gentle mirror, they're quite similar to Teresa of Avila's Prayer of the Simple Gaze. So as a refresher, this is a form of prayer in which you can kind of easily just sit and gaze at God with love. And Teresa of Avila, who was after Catherine of Siena, she would say that this is a, I wouldn't say advanced, but intermediate form or stage of prayer, where it comes a bit later, where this becomes natural. So to Teresa, this contemplation in of itself is looking at God and God lovingly looks back. And that's the same thing. And the gentle mirror predates Teresa by 2 centuries or so. But Catherine is also saying this. Approaching the gentle mirror, to me, is to simply look at God with love and then imagine God lovingly looking back at you. Yes, there should also be a moment where we do an examination of conscience and we examine the things that we need to improve. But the key here is feel those melt away with God's love. Yes, change your ways. Yes, go to confession, so on and so forth. But sit there and feel God's gaze on you, knowing that he loves you immensely. I want to be clear with this. I'm not trying to promote some New Age visualization method. This is contemplative prayer. And also, we must look at the scripture and look at the tradition of the church of God being a God unceasing in mercy. This comes from the the Old Testament. This comes from Christ's own words. This comes from St. Paul. This comes from the Acts of the Apostles. This comes from the Psalms. God is a God of mercy. Therefore, we should do our examination of conscience. Yes, go to confession. Yes, do your repentance of some kind. But let it wash away. This is also very similar to novena prayers. If you've heard me speak of novenas before, I say that one of the most beautiful things about novenas is that we get to leave after 9 days. So I'm assuming before the 9 days, you've done all of you can for this issue. Let's say it's looking for a job. So for months, you have put out your resume, so on and so forth. Or if it's an illness, you've gone to all the doctors and you're doing your treatment. But now you can go to your home altar, your home prayer corner, and you can sit for 9 days and pray, and then you can leave it. Yes, of course, still pray for it, but there's a sense of letting go. And that's also here with the gentle mirror. You have made a vow to change your ways. You have identified it. If you are a Catholic, you have gone to confession. Now you sit in front of the mirror of God and watch it go away, knowing that he loves you immensely. There is no past with God. There is no past in the sense that we see the past. To God, God is so magnificent that there is always only the eternal now. Therefore, if you have ever turned your face away from him, simply turn it back. Yes. There's atonement, there might be some repercussions, there might be some things you may have done to atone for that, sure, but God only cares that you have turned your face back, that you have come back. Think of the prodigal son who would have accepted slavery and slop, but did the father give him that? No, the father threw him a banquet. So, as I said, we can leave it. We can leave it. It's not saying the vice will forever go away. It likely won't. We can leave it and not hold on to that, not hold on to that self-hatred in our hearts. God does not want you to hate yourself for your past. Gentle mirror of the soul. All right. And I'm going to do a quick recap at the end, but next on our journey in Catherine's gentle mirror, let's talk about I am he who am. So to continue our journey, we should go back again to God's message to her. I am he who am, and you are she who is not. That's actually the full quote there. Again, this isn't God being cocky and putting her in her place. Rather, it's God pointing out that he is the current of all the forms around us. He truly is everything. And let me really reemphasize that. So this occurs, St. Catherine of Siena only lived to be 33. And this occurred in her, I would say, mid-20s, this vision, these bouts of ecstasy in which she had. So she had a very close relationship with Christ ever since she was a young girl. So she saw Christ and saw the Holy Spirit as well in the form of a dove throughout her life. So this isn't God like showing up to pick on her. Like, this is God's beloved and has been God's beloved for a long time. So I want to emphasize that. I also want to emphasize this, since I didn't before, the dialogue which we are going through, in case you did not listen to the previous episode on Catherine, this is coming from a dialogue that she has with God. So when he says, you are she who is not, it's not saying you are just this tiny little human creation and I'm all powerful. It's not just saying that. Instead, it's meant to showcase awe. It's meant to showcase that I am the undercurrent of all things around you. He truly is everything. And if he is everything, then what are we? And largely, now let's think about it. I thought it wasn't rhetorical. What are we? Largely, we are full of man-made conceptions, title, prestige, and other things that ultimately do not mean much. These small false selves, they only make us more egotistical, self-centered, self-righteous, and it only gets us further away from God, and of equal importance, further away from one another. The devil is known as the scatterer, or the separator, and he loves when we separate ourselves from our fellow humans, especially our fellow brothers and sisters in God. And when we begin to think of what we are, we begin to think of all of these things, that ego comes forth. I am this, I am this, I am this. But ultimately, when we look through the gentle mirror of God, we see that these titles, these labels, these things that we cling to, they fade away. And underneath these labels, these masks that we wear, it's just the image of God in which we are made in, this image of fiery love. Now again, let me be clear here. I am in no way saying that labels are bad. Labels are necessary. Did Christ not help fishermen catch fish? He wants us to still enjoy our vocations. That is why there is a patron saint for nearly every vocation, occupation out there. We also should take pride in our labels. We should take pride that we are mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, friends. Even in our careers, there's nothing wrong with that. And going back to Christ, there's actually occasions in which Christ tells men to not follow him because their vocation is to be with their families. This is all important. They're good and they're necessary. Labels matter. However, the issue comes when we have an over-attachment to them. It's easy to inflate ourselves to the point that we forget about the God that is, the God that is the current of our entire reality, because we are thinking of ourselves and we are thinking about us. And that can even get into egotistical piety, where my way is better, my way of worship is better, my way of prayer is better, my way of serving God is better. But I ask you to reflect, why did Cain kill Abel? Because he thought his sacrifice was better to God. So, these labels separate. They can also unite. But when we become overly attached to them, that is where the issue starts to arise. When we make the labels our God, when we make the labels our idol. All right, now let's get into fear of the Lord through the eyes of St. Catherine of Siena. So fear of the Lord is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that might not strike you as a gift. Patience is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Charity is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Also, you have the supernatural gifts, so healing and prophecy are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So why is fear of the Lord a gift of the Holy Spirit? And it's because this phrase is widely misunderstood. First off, yes, one should want to do God's will, just as we want to make our parents proud. But largely, this term is better translated into awe of God, awe of the Lord. So there's two things. One, yes, we do not want to turn our face away from God because we love God so much, just as if you don't want to let down your spouse or your friends. Same thing. So you should be, I guess, fearful of that. But more so, it's awe. And being in awe of God. And yes, I think this is a gift. I think this is an incredible gift. Because quite often when we think about God, or scratch that, quite often when we just go out into God's kingdom on earth, when we go out into society, we forget that this is God beckoning us with the beauty of life and the dramatics of life. When we see the beauty in nature, when we see the beauty in others, we rarely remember this is God, and we rarely fall upon our knees in awe and reverence. When we go to Mass on Sundays, when we meditate upon the rosary, it becomes so easy to be repetitive. However, having that space to be in awe of the beauty and the brilliance, yes, that is a gift. Because we lose our sense of wonder. We want to figure it out with our heads, which is fine. But over-intellectualizing can make us miss out on the great mystery and beauties of the divine. So this phrase, I am who am, it's also a reminder to be humble when it comes to God, because there is so much vastness, and we can only ever understand a tiny fragment of God's being, if any at all. Therefore, sometimes it is best to just sit and stare into the gentle mirror, practice that prayer of the simple gaze, to thank God and then sit in silence lovingly and surrender to that not knowing. Surrender in trust of God. This is sometimes and something we get into with the mystics. John of the Cross, in his spiritual canticle, when he talks about the seeker, the lover looking for the beloved, the seeker looking for God. The seeker is saying how all of this nature points to God. However, there's something more, and he's left with this, I don't know what, behind my stammering. I've always loved that line. It's so easy to lose the awe. When Christ said we must be like children, he was not saying that we must be ignorant or we shouldn't study. Of course, there are amazing Christian theologians and philosophers and scientists and so on and so forth. He was saying be in awe. Be in awe and wonder of the beauty of life that we often forget. Another phrase that you see with Catherine of Siena and some of these medieval mystics, because remember this is a medieval mystic, is the term self-hatred. And I think that I've already kind of got into the false self, the ego. And Catherine does speak about herself very strongly in the dialogue. She refers to herself, the wretch that I am, the terrible sinner that I am. And again, it's because she's seen the immensity of God's love, so she knows that in that pool of mercy, she is but one drop. But we see her very warm side. And she was writing a letter to Neri, who was a close friend of Catherine. She spoke to him about his tendency to fall into what is called confusione, which is essentially a word that means self-doubt or grim self-interrogation, which I love, a tendency for self-hatred and scrupulosity. So scrupulosity would be, I'm thinking that everything I'm doing is upsetting God. So Catherine said this to him. So this is someone that is struggling with believing that God loves them because he's so caught up on, am I upsetting God? I hate myself for this, so on and so forth. And this is what Catherine says to him. Neri, I want all of your confusione, your self-hatred, your doubt, to be burned up in the fire of God's boundless charity. Isn't God more ready to forgive than we are to sin? And isn't he our doctor and we are the sick ones? Open your mind's eye with its light, most holy faith, and see how much God loves you. Don't become discouraged as you consider his love, and don't let your heart become cold, but instead, let the holy desire grow in true love within you. She would also call this self-loathing a leprosy that dries up the body and soul. So one, false self-love or false piety or an attachment to these labels, that can breed ego, but self-despair can also come from this. And a healthy non-attachment and a healthy trust in God. We more closely abide in our true self. We more closely trust in God's true image of love. And here again, the answer to this self-loathing that she says to Neri and this false self-love is to go again in the gentle mirror. Look in the gentle mirror of God's love and remind ourselves we are made in this loving image. And to kind of wrap this up, there's two other things that I think are important with Catherine, and then we'll do kind of a summary. And first is this concept of darkness to light. Catherine uses the word darkness to describe the evil one, Satan, the devil. And she says the devil's aim is to invade our mind with shadows. I really like that. And his goal is to make us think of God in a warped way rather than to think of God lovingly. I also like that as well, because it makes sense with the aim of the demonic. Now, again, when I say the aim of the demonic, I am not literally saying that there is a demon or Satan trying to purposefully thwart you. I'm saying this is an energetic exchange that is further away from God and thus, by definition, demonic. I don't want to create scrupulosity and make any of you think you're possessed. You're not, I promise. But my point here is that our tendency to be repelled by God and to have false images of God is an act of darkness rather than light. Catherine also speaks of this light that is intrinsically in our soul. It's a light already in us. Namely, she says, there's a light that stands at the soul's gate. But we must let this light in. We must trust that this light will illuminate ourselves. And in that illumination, that's we become closer to God and closer in his image. And similarly, she talks about the fire of the union. For Catherine, there's no path of union that doesn't include healthily removing, I'm stressing healthily there. Catherine of Siena did not always do things healthily. Healthily removing negative attachments as well as contemplation, sitting in that mirror, doing the steps of contemplative prayer we discussed as well in previous episodes. And the image that Catherine uses the most is fire. She says, I want you to live in this knowledge of yourself and to recognize within yourself the fire of God's charity. And in the fire of this charity, in the fire of this love, there is so much brightness. There is a measurable, indescribable, and incomprehensible fire, and it will dry up selfish love and ego. All right, so let's wrap all this together. So Catherine of Siena is a mystic that has given us these profound conversations that she's had with God. And a lot of it is still relatable today. Essentially, she's talking about things in this larger work of the shadow self, of things that you'll find in Jung and others. And she's talking about it here. And she's talking about how it's easy to get caught up in self-doubt and self-loathing, or on the other hand, even self-delusion. And she acknowledges the role of being in awe of God, and how our own ego and over-love of self, it rips us away from him. But she keeps going back to contemplation, which she calls the gentle mirror. Because in this mirror, we see our true selves, even if it's a glimpse. Even if it's a glimpse, and what is our true self but the image of God, and what is God love? And over time, we see more of ourselves, reflecting, being illuminated by this fire of God. The fire both melts away the ego, melts away the false self, and it dries up selfish love. So, how do we do this? Of course, we do this through good works of charity, treating one another well. We have to change our worldly behavior because it relates to our spiritual behavior. But it's also sitting there. It's going back to the contemplative steps we've talked about in the prayer episodes, so on and so forth. It's going through those steps of prayer, of meditation, of sitting in contemplation, and feeling the gaze of God, feeling that loving gaze. So if even for a moment we understand and we feel the fire of his love, in the true image of God in which we are created in, which is an image of unceasing love. So may you too find the peace of looking into Catherine's simple mirror and see the perfect final draft that you are before God sent you to earth. Saint Catherine of Siena, pray for us. And thank you for listening to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue, as well as our series on the great saint, Catherine of Siena. God bless you.